The jobs report from the Department of Labor is due out tomorrow morning, and now it's become a really big deal. It's the business news headlines for Thursday, the third day of October. Thanks, as always, for clicking through and being with us again today. President Trump signs an executive order that he says will save Medicare. In spite of other negative economic signs, new home construction is starting to boom. Nurses are walking off the job, young people are leaving glitzy cities, and there's a story about low wages in Iowa. Natalie Beldhaus joins me for the interview about why Iowa is such a low-wage state. But first, the business news headlines.
Insight on Business the News Hour is made possible through the support of the HR professionals at Oasis, a paychecks company at oasisahr.com. Taro International, a company that trains business leaders to be more successful. Achieve, lead, and outclass with Taro. TERO.com. The National Tractor Parts Dealer Association, with members in the United States, Canada, Great Britain, Australia, and New Zealand. NTPDA.com. And AARP, where they work to provide leadership in a host of issues from healthcare to creating more livable communities. Learn more at aarpiowa.org. The business news is next.
Thank you, Hunter Pease, and welcome to the Thursday edition of the business news headlines. You know, all eyes will be on the Labor Department tomorrow morning as the agency rolls out the September jobs report. Why? Well, we might be finding out if this past week's data is flashing a recession warning or is just a couple of shockwaves. Now, if you remember, this week we were hit with some dreadful manufacturing numbers, and then came the ADP job report that further suggested hiring is stalled, and that led to more talks of a possible recession. All of that is adding to signs that the U.S.-China trade war is taking a toll on growth, and the dovish central bank may not be able to contain the damage. Now, the jobs report could be key to resolving the contradiction across major assets that's been defining 2019. I mean, Treasury yields are back near the lowest in 3 years, while U.S. stocks are about 5% from the all-time high and still enjoying the best year since 2013. All of that is in the backdrop, but yet we get these warning signs that keep flashing. So, yeah, tomorrow's payrolls report suddenly looks vital. While some economic data may indicate a downturn, somebody forgot to tell that to the housing market. Data on the housing market has been trending upward. In August, we saw new home construction rising to the fastest pace since 2007, and pending home sales trending up as interest rates fall, and that has improved affordability. In other words, if the U.S. economy is headed toward a recession and an end to the current bull market in the near future, it's going to be doing so uncharacteristically without the help of the housing market. Mixed signals, my friends. Speaking of mixed signals, today President Trump signed an executive order that he says will save Medicare. Trump, speaking for an hour at a campaign-style rally at a retirement community in Florida, offered few details on his executive order and spent most of his speech attacking the health policies of the 2020 Democratic presidential contenders. He said, as long as he's president, quote, no one will lay a hand on your Medicare benefits, end quote. He went on to say, quote, Medicare is under threat like never before. I will never allow these politicians to steal your health care and give it away to illegal aliens, end quote. What is confusing is that, as far as we know, no attempt by anybody out there is to steal any part of Medicare health care. Health and Human Services Secretary Alex Azar said the order includes lowering costs in Medicare Advantage, making changes to Medicare payments, and accelerating access to the latest medical technologies. Meanwhile, the president took direct aim at Medicare for All, saying, quote, Medicare for All is a massive government health care takeover that would obliterate coverage for seniors, end quote. Well, 2 years ago, a gunman opened fire on a crowded venue enjoying a country music concert in Las Vegas. The shooting, which left 58 dead and wounded hundreds of others, occurred during an outdoor country music festival. The shooter, Stephen Craig Paddock, killed himself in a Mandalay Bay hotel room. Authorities later found assault-style weapons, hundreds of rounds of ammunition, and bump stocks that allow a user to rapidly fire a gun. Well, today in a settlement, we learned that MGM Resorts International will pay between $735 million and $800 million to settle a lawsuit with victims and the victims' families. According to the Associated Press, the settlement creates the third largest victims' compensation fund in U.S. history. Yeah, it was just last week that Elon Musk told investors that Tesla was on track to deliver 100,000 vehicles, and Tesla's stock shot up. Well, today is a different story, as Tesla's stock price fell as much as 7% this morning after the company reported disappointing vehicle production data. Third quarter production reached just over 96,000 vehicles, and Tesla delivered 97,000, setting a company record and hitting the low end of Wall Street's consensus estimates of 95 to 100,000. The company said it's heading into the fourth quarter with an increase in its order backlog. Tesla previously announced it hoped to deliver between 360 and 400,000 cars for the year. Big cities on the coasts are seeing young people moving away and settling in more affordable cities, all this according to LinkedIn. Moving to regions like the San Francisco Bay Area, Seattle, and Miami-Fort Lauderdale, where housing costs as a percentage of income are among the highest in the United States, has slowed dramatically. Case in point, San Francisco Bay Area, up to 51% of your income can be spent on housing there. So where are folks going? Well, the areas attracting talent are Minneapolis-St. Paul, Phoenix, and Philadelphia, where housing costs as a percentage of income are among the lowest in the country. According to the data, one city, Boston, stands out for gaining in popularity among workers while also featuring a steep cost of living. About 8,200 nurses in four states went on strike last month, highlighting an intensifying debate about patient-to-nurse staffing levels and stagnant pay for healthcare workers. Experts say the growing cloud of nurses means that hospitals are more likely to meet the union's demands than in the past. An estimated 80,000 healthcare workers at Kaiser Permanente had planned on a 7-day strike in September before reaching an agreement, as did 650 nurses at St. Luke's Hospital in Duluth, Minnesota. And that story about wages brings us to this. The number of Iowans who struggle paying their bills without public assistance has increased to the point that 1 in 5 find themselves in financial trouble. Today, 300,000 Iowans are in that boat. That's an increase of 73,000 people in just 1 year. So what's going on? And why are more Iowans struggling? Well, to put it bluntly, Iowa is a low-wage state. The average annual wage of a working Iowan is thousands of dollars less than in neighboring states like Missouri, Nebraska, Illinois, and Minnesota. So I reached out to Natalie Veldhaus of the Iowa Policy Project, who's just released an economic study on the situation, and that story is coming up next.